Hi everyone, I'm Eric Mills with the Windows Server Marketing Team in US OEM at Microsoft. And welcome to another edition of OEM TV. In today's episode, we're going to talk about virtualization and virtualization with Windows Server using Hyper-V. As you may know, virtualization lets you run multiple operating systems on one physical computer, and it's included with Windows Server Essentials, Windows Server Standard, and Windows Server Data Center Editions. So virtualization has a lot of benefits to customers. As you may know, it saves customers a lot of money. It provides flexibility to grow, and it increases uptime through high availability and disaster recovery technologies. So this is going to be a how-to video. What we're going to do is we're going to walk you through setting up Hyper-V on a Windows Server machine and actually installing your first virtual machine. We'll show you how to configure the storage, the networking. We'll talk about the differences between Generation 1 and Generation 2 virtual machines, and actually show you how to install the operating system into that guest virtual machine. So without further ado, let's check it out.
In this movie, I'm going to walk you through setting up Hyper-V and then creating your first virtual machine. Now, in certain OEM out-of-box experiences, you're going to already have Hyper-V installed with one virtual machine created. In the event that you don't have it installed already, the easiest way to install Hyper-V is come to Manage, go to Add Roles and Features, click Next, do a role of feature-based installation, pick the server you want, whether that be a local server or a remote server, and you can see that Hyper-V is already installed here. So normally you would click Next, it would finish the installation, reboot you, and then you'd come back up and Hyper-V would be installed. Now, Hyper-V can be installed on or it comes with Windows Server Data Center Standard Edition and Essentials. And depending on the SKU of the operating system that you're installing on, the licensing for the number of virtual machines you can run will vary a little bit. For example, Data Center has unlimited number of virtual machines running Windows Server. Windows Server Standard Edition comes with licenses for two virtual machines running Windows Server Standard Edition. This goes for Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2. So what are the benefits to virtualization for an SMB customer? I suppose the biggest one is cost savings. The cost savings you get with virtualization means that you don't necessarily have to manage bare metal anymore. You pick one server that has current day BIOS, current day infrastructure as far as CPUs go that support the virtualization chipsets, NIC teaming, memory, really fast memory, and a lot of it. And then hard drive storage, generally you're going to get faster disks and more efficient disks nowadays. And if you wanted to go to remote storage, even better. Separation of compute and storage is really where high performance computing comes from. So Hyper-V, once it's installed, you're pretty much ready to go. So Windows Server out of the box comes ready to go for virtualization. The only thing you really need to do is kind of configure your storage the way that you want it. Now, once you've got the Hyper-V role installed, the next thing to do is open up Hyper-V Manager console. So if you go to Tools and go to Hyper-V Manager, you'll see your server name and you'll see the one virtual machine that's been created if your OOBE experience did that for you. So if you right-click on the first virtual machine and go to Settings, just by looking at this virtual machine, I can tell this is a Generation 1 virtual machine. There's two generations of virtual machines. Generation 1 is a BIOS boot. And the BIOS boot is, it doesn't support a secure boot, but it is compatible with 2008 up to current day, basically. So if you've got a Hyper-V infrastructure that has operating system levels less than Windows Server 2012 R2, then the possibility exists that you may want to migrate a virtual machine to that platform, in which case you should use a Type 1 or a Generation 1 virtual machine for compatibility reasons. If you know that you'll only be running Hyper-V on Windows Server 2012 R2 and higher, then you can get away with just using Gen 2 virtual machines. The biggest difference between Gen 1 and Gen 2, Gen 1 did not support a secure boot because it's a BIOS-based boot. So Generation 2 does. It uses a firmware boot, so it supports a UEFI boot. And it also does not use IDE controllers. IDE controllers are legacy. Everything now uses SCSI controllers. So whenever you set up a Gen 2 virtual machine, you won't see the first hard drive or the CD or the DVD on an IDE controller. They'll be on SCSI controllers. it also takes out some of the things like COM ports and diskette drivers, because no one really uses those anymore. So what those were in there for was compatibility for different operating systems and for different requirements of those operating systems. So if you don't have that need anymore, then Generation 2 Virtual Machine removes that infrastructure from the virtual machine configuration. One less thing to go wrong, one less thing to have problems with an application. One big benefit of Gen 2 virtual machines too is that you can change the size of hard disks on the fly. Whereas with Gen 1 virtual machines, you had to shut the virtual machine down to expand the hard disk. With Gen 2 virtual machines, you can expand the hard disks on the fly. So this is the default virtual machine that gets created. If you create a new virtual machine, let's say you want to install an operating system, the next thing that you would do is you would go new virtual machine. And actually, before I show you this, let me show you one configuration that you should set before you start. Your storage locations. So I've got my storage location set to E:Hyper-V here. These are actually, the E drive is considered to be a data disk. It's set up with redundancy and parity, and it's also got multiple spindles underneath it for performance. You should not use your operating system drive for your virtual hard disk storage. Even better if you can use remote storage, like a storage space across SMB3. We'll talk a little bit more about this as I get further along in the demonstration, but you should definitely set these paths and be aware of where your virtual machines and your virtual hard disks are being stored, because these are going to be part of your backup rotation, and it's also going to be a place if you migrate, this is the place where new machines that are migrated in will end up. Another tool here before we create the first virtual machine is Hyper-V Switch Manager. There are three types of Hyper-V switches. There's external, internal, and private. If you create an external Hyper-V switch, part of the setup of a virtual machine is to tell it which Hyper-V switch you want to put it on. This is if you understand what a layer 2 switch is, it's the same thing inside of Hyper-V, except it's virtualized. So if you got two systems that are set up on separate switches, separate VLANs, then what that does is provides network level isolation. Same thing with switching inside of Hyper-V. If I use an external switch, I have to bind that to a physical NIC or a physical NIC team. And that allows the virtual machine to see outside to other networks. Internal means that the virtual machine can see the Hyper-V host and it can see other virtual machines running on this host. A private virtual switch limits the vision of the virtual machine to just those other virtual machines that are running on this actual host. So a lot of times you'll see private with testing. Internal probably more so with testing, but you can actually copy files from the host down to the virtual machine and the virtual machine back to the host just by mapping a drive. External is where you'd put production virtual machines, and you would point them to your name services and your domains wherever those exist. So I've actually got one virtual machine right now. It's an internal, or I should say a virtual network. I'm going to use this internal virtual network for my demonstration. So to create a new virtual machine, I'm going to click new virtual machine, click next. I'm going to call this one Gen2-VM. So Gen 2 VM will be a Generation 2 VM. You can see it's going to default to the exact path that I set for my virtual machines. You can override that here if you want to, but you don't need to. So you got a choice here of Gen 1 or Gen 2 virtual machines. We just kind of did a walkthrough of the differences, so I'll just pick Gen 2 here and move on. Now, the default is to use 512 megs of RAM, and best practice is to enable dynamic memory. However, let's say that we're dealing with an SMB customer, and let's say that this SME customer has decided that here's some beneficial workloads for Hyper-V. We've got a line of business application, we've got an email service, and we've got a database server. Maybe it's a SQL server. We know that this SQL server out of the box requires 2 gigs of RAM. What you may want to, 2 gigs of RAM, and what you probably want to do is, set actual numbers for the RAM. 2048. So this would give 2 gigs of RAM, and if I said use dynamic memory, then it would automatically assign more memory as it was needed, but it wouldn't start it at 512, it would start it at 2 gigs. So if you know that the minimum memory required for a virtual machine is going to be a certain amount, you might as well start at that amount. So 512 is the default, but you want to set this more appropriately for certain virtual machines if you already understand the workloads. Okay, and you'll see that you can connect to my internal virtual switch. We'll click next again. It automatically creates the hard disk with the VM name, and it puts it in the location set for the default path for hard disk storage. If I want to, I can use an existing hard disk if I've already got an operating system installed. So the quickest way to go from a Gen 1 to a Gen 2 VM is to save off the Gen 1 VHDX file, remove the Gen 1 VM, saving the disk, and then create a Gen 2 VM and just point to the disk. That's there's really no conversion from Gen 1 to Gen 2, but that's probably the simplest way to do it. Okay, we'll install an operating system from file. So just like if you were going to install an operating system on bare metal, you'd pop open the DVD, put the operating system CD or DVD in there, start it up and let it boot. You're going to do the same thing here, except it's going to be a little bit more virtualized. So if I click browse here, I'll pick my Windows Server 2012 ISO, and all you need to do is rip an ISO or download the ISO and save it. And then when you install the operating system, it will actually boot off of this ISO. So we'll click next and we'll click finish. All right, so now I've got Gen 2 VM. If I launch the Gen 2 VM and click start, this is going to bring me into an operating system installation screen. So it should boot from the virtual machine and then start up based on the ISO. So now you can see that this is actually loading up the operating system files now. If I go to full screen on my display, this is actually going to launch an installation of Windows Server 2012, and depending on whether you're using standard or data center. Now you just basically walk through the installation. Once the installation is complete, then your operating system is installed. And at that point, if you wanted to, you could sysprep it and save it off to create new virtual machines, or you could start loading applications on there and make this a virtual machine workload. So the management of the virtual machine, most of the time, is going to be done directly through the virtual machine console. The goal of this is really to give you a central location where you can set up management for both the host and the virtual machines from a single location. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this demonstration up. However, you should understand that Windows Server 2012 is, it comes out of the box with everything that you need to virtualize, and that you can scale this to whatever size you want. If you get to a point where you've got a lot of virtual machines and you want to set up automatic failover, then Windows Server Cluster might be the direction that you want to go. Otherwise, live migration is also an option if you just wanted to live migrate virtual machines from one host to another. Thank you very much.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that walkthrough of how to set up a first virtual machine on Windows Server. In part two, we're going to talk about storage and how to set that up as well. Hope you enjoyed the video, and we'll see you next time on OEM TV.